Good morning, everybody. Welcome to church. How y'all doing? If you love Jesus, give him a hand, would you? And would you welcome everybody watching online? Come on. Woo, good morning. Brooke and I have been on our 25th anniversary, you know. They're like, did you miss us? I was like, I didn't think about you one time. Just like, we had a blast. She put up with me for 25 years, and I keep getting better, y'all. She got me trained, almost. So, but it is so good to see you guys. Let me give you a couple things before we dive into this message. Be praying for Pastor Rick. He's in Cabot speaking, and then he is headed to the Ukraine. He's not going to be in the war zone, but he's going to be in Kiev preaching the gospel, helping pastors that are there, and he's asked for us to cover him in prayer every single day that he's gone. Would y'all write that in your notes just to make sure and just check that box and say we're going to be praying for him. We've had a couple pastors that have just taken a little time of rest, and so he's in Cabot helping that campus out this morning, and so just cover him on that trip. We're going to talk about the end times today. You guys ready? Who in here would say, I believe we're living in the end times? Raise your hand. Let's just see. Who would just say, I have no idea. I've been hearing about it my whole life. I'm just a little confused about it. All right. Here's the deal. We want to know when anything ends. We go to a baseball game. We're like, it's nine innings. A football game, it's four quarters. College basketball, two halves. Work, 5 o'clock. Checking out. I'm not going to get much done after three. Praise God. You know what I'm saying? I watch a movie, and I check it and go, an hour and 31 minutes. All right, I can suffer through this. If it's a Hallmark, I got 10. That's it. That's all I got, right? But I need to know when things end. I grew up in a church that taught on end times a lot. I've survived 11 raptures in my lifetime so far, right? I thought they had me in 1988, 88 reasons for 88. And I was like, then Y2K happened. How many of y'all think we were living in Y2K? Be honest. Don't be ashamed. Raise your hand. You've got your liars. Y'all had canned goods. You know it. You had a stash somewhere, you know. But I, this is what I'm scared. My kids haven't grown up with any weird end time teaching. And they're soft because of it, all right? Like, I talked to one guy, he said, I went to Sunday school, and we did rapture-ready drills. And I was like, what? He said, my Sunday school teacher brought a trumpet. She'd go, da, 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 and we would jump out of the seat. I said, this explains a lot, right? And then one lady said, their youth pastor taught them that if you're driving and you hear the trumpet, run off the road in the car because you're going to heaven. But if you hit someone head on, you'll send them straight to hell. And so they were just always had their windows down. This is crazy. And now you can buy books to leave behind on your coffee table for, like, if you make the rapture, eventually people are going to break into your home. And then you can have a book about the tribulation, and people can come read the book and realize they need to be beheaded to make it to heaven. And so I bought one for each of my kids. And and then all the movies, we got Left Behind series. I grew up with that rapture movie where the guy was shaving and he dropped the razor in the sink. I've never shaved with a razor. Brooke, let me tell you about this movie, Brooke watched in church. This should have been illegal. This girl is in the tribulation, and she's carrying a red balloon. And they said, do you denounce Jesus? And she said, no, I don't. And I'm dead serious. They took her to a guillotine, and this guillotine blade falls down. I'm telling you, to cut her head off. And then it cuts, and the red balloon floated into the air. And Brooke got saved and has never sinned since that movie. Not one time. Our kids have just missed out on everything. I'm going to tell you, I've been cynical about the end times. People are like, are you pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib? I've always told them I'm paying trib. It's all going to pan out. You know? And I've just been flipping about it. But the disciples asked Jesus about it, and Jesus was very clear. And it was very rough what he was saying was going to happen. And I'm going to tell you, like, if you're looking for an encouraging word, you're going to have to wait to the end. because he said there's going to be some dark and heavy times that happen, and many people are going to fall away. And there is two chapters, Matthew 24 and 25, that's two of the most sobering chapters of Jesus' teaching. So a lot of times we just think that Jesus walked around and did therapy. Jesus walked around, he did some tough, hard teaching, called out some things, and he was equipping us for the last day. Some of the biggest counterfeit teaching is around some of this that happens right here. But Jesus was actually pretty clear, and I'm going to give us a few principles that I want you to take home with you. I'm going to tell you where I personally stand on this. I think we're in the beginning of birth pains. I think we're living in the end times. That's why I've kind of changed my focus to where I've been real flippant about things to then I'm looking at the world going, man, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things that Jesus talked about that is happening in these verses. And I want you to get your heart ready and don't get distracted. Like, this is one that you need to get. And there's some things, we can agree or disagree on some things, but there's a readiness that you need to have around the times that we live in, because you're either going to experience or your kids are going to experience it. You got to pass this along. This needs to be a conversation, like, on the ride home, like, what do you think about this? Are we ready for this? As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, verse 3, the disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. Let's just leave it right there. Let me give you a principle. I want you to write it down. It's not about the when. Or matter of fact, let's put it like this. It's about the watch, not the when. The disciples come and say, when is all this going to take place? When is this going to happen? When is the end of the age going to come? And Jesus said, it's not about the when. He goes, what does he say? Watch out. Say those two words with me. Watch out. Why does that happen? Because if my kids tell me they're coming home at 8:30, I don't even look for them until 8:30. I'm like, well, it's 8:37. They're not home. Somebody's in trouble. But if Ashlyn says, Mom, I'm headed home, she's got an app on her phone, and she is watching for her. I don't know where she got this app. I don't know if Gary at the FBI gave her some equipment, but she's like, oh, man, she's doing 63 miles an hour, and now she's at a roundabout. And it doesn't matter what time of night it is. She doesn't turn that app off until Ashlyn has pulled in the driveway. Then she acts like she was never watching in the first place. Da, 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 da. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, all you kids, we're spying on you. You don't even know it, right? That's the difference between when and watch. It's very, I want y'all to watch that, write that word down, watch. You know, y'all say that with me, 1, 2, 3? Watch. See, a lot of times we want to figure out, well, what do you think the date is? Is it Y2K? Because they put that tape in that VCR and it didn't work. It didn't really want to pass it. I saw it. I saw Geraldo do it and it just broke everything. We want to know the when, and there's something more powerful than the when. It's the God wants you to be a Christian that's like a person that works for a job in their own call for the weekend. There's a sense of readiness and awareness. I got things to do around my house. I got things to take care of. I'm fixing dinner. But at any time, I could get a text and I got to go into work. At any time, I could get a call. Listen, he wants you to be an on-call believer. Like, I am ready at any moment, and I'm watching for wars, violence, hatred. This is what he was saying. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be violence all over the world. If I'd have been a disciple, I would have been like, I'm kind of sorry I asked, you know? I thought we were just going to wave a banner, and it's all going to be good. He's like, no. He's like, brothers going to hate brothers. Friends are going to hate friends. People are going to break covenant relationships. Best friends are going to turn into the worst enemies, and it's going to seem that people are losing their mind. He says there's going to be famine, earthquakes, and pestilence. There's going to be strange diseases that appear. The Greek word for that is monkeypox. And there's going to be... I studied it all week, all right? This is what he's meaning. I want you to write it down. I want you to get this. He's saying the world is going to live closer to the edge of death than it's been used to living. As Americans, we haven't really lived as a society. We've had tragedies. We've had things happen to people that blindsided us. But since we got out of the Great Depression, we have not lived close to the edge of death like third world countries live there. Like, you go to a third world country, and because they have real danger, real disease, they have toxic water, it's undrinkable, it's full of parasites. You go back on missions trips, and someone's always gone from the year before. We go into places that have a 50% mortality rate amongst kids. They live in cultures where they're on the edge of death. And Jesus has explained this. There's going to happen in society a ramp down to where all the world is going to live closer to the edge of death than they were used to. He said, that's going to happen. Then he says, Christians are going to be the enemy. He says this in Matthew chapter 10. You'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. This is verse 9. You will be hated by all nations because of me. Boy, that's a tough verse. This is what he's saying is Christians will lose worldwide credibility. I want everybody to listen to me because this is what's happening, and he wants you to watch so that you're not blindsided. Like, what's happening? He's saying, this is what's going to happen. You are going to be considered the problem in the world. And this is how it happens. It's going to happen this way. Listen to me. We will no longer be the moral voice of authority in the world. I grew up in a time, and everybody in here that's older than me that's been around church, we all grew up in a time where when something would happen in our society, some people would go, what does the Bible say? And other people would go, what does my pastor say? And if they didn't want to know what the Bible said or their pastor said, you'd go to the newspaper and Billy Graham would write about it. And we'd go, well, Billy Graham, we'll just follow him. We'll just follow what he had to say. Jesus saying, that's not what it's going to be like. I'm going to tell you, we're right here, right now. My dad was a pastor. I've been pastoring. I haven't been a senior pastor, but I've been in the ministry since I was 18 years old. 30 years this winter. When my dad was a pastor, there was a level of respect and honor that came with his title that pastors and teachers have lost today. So much so, like when men talk to each other, if I meet a stranger who's a man, I'm just like, we just start talking to each other. The second or third question a man says is what? What do they say? Women, it takes them all day to get down to, well, what do you do? You know, they could care less. They're just like, I like you. Well, tell me about how you do your hair, you know, and they talk about all that. Yeah. We go, are you a Razorback fan? Kinda. All right, well, what do you do? And every time I go, I'm a pastor. It's a conversation killer. Nobody goes, well, tell me everything you know about God. I mean, it's just like, nobody does it. Brooke and I were in a conversation with this couple. It is like going great. Brooke will meet somebody and like, I'll walk away, go use the restroom, come back. Brooke's like, I think we're going to go on vacation next year with this family I just met. Yeah. And she's over there and she is thinking to her. She's like, oh, I hope they don't ask you what you do. I hope they don't ask you what you do. It's just going to ruin our friendship, you know. So I've gotten around it. You know what I do now? I tell everybody, they go, so what do you do? And I say, I sell a specialized death insurance. And they're like, oh, really? I said, yeah. And they're like, well, what's that? I said, the benefits pay off real well after you die. And then I had this one guy's like, I've never thought about it. And I was like, I can tell. I've been watching you all day. Hadn't thought about it once. You know, it's just that's how I get around it. Christian's going to lose credibility. So he says, watch. It's about the watch and not the when. There's a readiness. And I want to tell you this. It's more like I'm beware. I have this, you know, you walk up to a house that says, beware the dog. Like you're looking for more than the house. You're looking, what kind of dog do they have? Like you're ready. That is this sense of readiness about what's going on in the world. Here's the second one. Become undeceivable. I can't be deceived. Every time Jesus taught on the end times, he taught on the end times and deception together. Because there's something about the end times that Jesus kept coming back to. He does three times in 12 verses right here. He's saying, people, like he says, when the end times is ramping up and I'm getting ready to return, more and more people are going to be deceived. Listen to me. This is a very sobering word. This is what it means. People are going to be seduced away from biblical truth. This is what he's saying is going to happen in the last days. He's like, the Bible is going to lose its sense of attractiveness, not just to people who called themselves unbelievers, but to a lot of people who are around the church. And he said it's going to happen in several different ways. And he's like, I want you to be undeceivable. That's why he starts this out. When is this going to happen? When is it going to happen? It's not about the when, it's about the watch. Watch that no one deceives you. Verse 10, at that time, many will turn away. Everybody say that, those two words with me, turn away. If that's in your Bible, I want you to circle it. I hope I have time to come back to this Greek word. Turn away from the faith and betray and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. I'm going to tell you this. I haven't seen this on a large scale until the last 2 years. I've seen it here and there. I'm starting to see it everywhere. It's the thing that grieves my heart right now. It's the thing that drives me to pray. I've got people's faces in my mind right now, and I know you do too, that grew up under the teaching of the Word of God and believe bizarre things from people they don't even know because of a 5-minute YouTube video they watched. And Jesus is like, this is going to be happening. You've got to be a person that has decided, I'm going to be undeceivable. And he said, this is what's going to happen. All right, I want y'all to hear, here's the thing that's going to happen under deception. Many are going to call themselves the Messiah. Okay? They're the Messiah. Now, let me tell you what I think on this. All right, there's going to be people who claim to be a Messiah. Every generation's always had that. Right after the resurrection, Josephus, the historian, said, well, a lot of people started saying they were the Messiah. We're always going to have people that are like David Koresh. But this is what's going to happen. I want you to write this down. There's going to be ideologies. I'm talking about ways of thinking that the world is going to say, if we could all think this way, and if we could all love this way, and if we could all just be in unity on that, that's what will heal our land. That's what will save our society. That is going to be the best thing for the whole wide world if we could all think that. That's what the Savior is. It's all of us thinking that way. And Jesus said it's going to happen over and over and over. And that is happening right now. He said there's going to be, here's the next thing, false prophets and false teaching. There's going to be false doctrines in the last days. Okay. In the Bible Belt, we've had our fair share of false doctrines. We've had some hyper-grace teaching that was all grace. Nobody lives in any type of holiness, trying to get close to Jesus, close to their Bible, wanting to become like him, wanting him to sanctify them through and through. We've had some hyper-teaching on prosperity that manipulated a lot of people. I don't know how to name this, so I'm going to name this. I hope I ain't the first one named it, but we'll just go with my definition. I'm going to call this the Thomas Jefferson Doctrine. This is happening right now with our young people. Thomas Jefferson didn't believe in miracles in the Bible. He didn't believe in the supernatural. But he liked the teachings of Jesus. So he went through the Bible, and every time he saw anything that was supernatural that happened in the Bible, he cut it out. So he had a Bible that was sanitized and edited to agree with the way he agrees. This is what we see happening right now. People go, I like the Bible. I just decided I don't like the Old Testament. I like the Bible, but I don't like Paul. He's a jerk, you know? Looks like a male chauvinist to me. This is like, I don't like him. This is what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says, all scripture is God-breathed. All of it. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And listen to me, all of it. Amen? Listen to me. If you edit the word and sanitize the word so that it agrees with you, that gospel is not the gospel that can save you. It's a corruptible seed. Amen? Brooke and I, on our last day, we were down in Mexico. We got there, and they told us, they said, all the iguanas that you see have had their tails bitten off. They said, the tails will grow back, but the reason the iguanas that you see have their tails bitten off is there's an alpha iguana walking around here and he bites everybody's tail off. But nobody has bitten his tail off. It's beautiful, it's colorful, and he's the only iguana around here that has his full tail. I was like, wow, I'd like to find that dude, shake his hand. The last day we were there, Brooke and I went and had morning breakfast. We're like under this little villa thing, and the alpha iguana came out of hiding. And I'm sitting here with coffee in my hand, the alpha iguana. He climbed up a pole, and then just right up above us, there's just like this little lattice work. He stood above us, looked down at me, I kid you not, and urinated all over me. I don't know if you've ever had the pleasure. But I do know what you're thinking. You're just thinking, well, how bad that could be, because you're just thinking it was like a mist. No, it was a super soaker. He'd been holding it all. It was so much, it disturbed people. It startled people around us. They were like, oh my gosh, what happened? And I am drenched. I still drank my coffee, but I am drenched. And I'm just like, and Brooke goes, that iguana just peed on you. And I just looked up. He was staring down at me. I looked at him and he goes, who's your daddy? And then I just was like, what do you do? Brooke looked at me and she's like, I'm so glad that happened to you and not me. I was like, I hope you never forget this picture in your mind. That's a picture of false doctrine on your walk with Jesus. How do you become undeceivable? All right, let me give you three things that have to happen in your life. Number one, you need to upgrade the friendships that you have and upgrade them to this point to where you ask people to be candid with you. In the South, we have way too many cordial relationships and not enough candid relationships. And you need to invite candid talk into your life or you're not going to survive the last days. You're going to be one of the people that are deceived. And if you go, I want to be undeceivable, I have to invite this into my life because it's so uncomfortable. The second thing I'm going to tell you, you must have a faithful, quiet time in the Word. I every time I preach right now, I have sensed the Holy Spirit pointing that down. And when I say faithful, this is what I mean. Deliberate. I know when and where this is going to happen. It's deliberate. It's sustained. It's faithful in the Word. If you have a Bible that is barely used, you're not going to make it in these days. You got to know the truth so you can walk in freedom. Then I'm going to say you need to be faithful under the teaching of the pastors and leaders God has put in your life. If you miss, go online. They're going to have your pastors and your teachers are going to have words that are going to equip you for the times and the seasons that we live in life. And you go, all right, I believe God's brought them into my life. I'm not just going to go, oh, when I have time, I'm going to be faithful to this. I'm going to make a prediction here. I believe when we get to this happening in America, we're going to see a migration happen. There's been about three major migrations that have happened in our history. The first one would be people leaving the East Coast and going into the Ohio Valley. The second migration had been were people that were like, we're crossing the Mississippi, we're going out west, and we're going to pioneer, explore lands, we're going to take the Oregon Trail, we're going to go all the way to the West Coast, and that just became the fact. People would move here and travel all the way across the United States, and they would settle out way out in the Midwest and the West. That was the third one we don't talk about much unless you read about it. It's between 1916 and 1970, the African American population moved out of the South. 6 million African Americans during that 54 years moved to places like Harlem, Milwaukee, Chicago, Detroit, Oakland, California. They moved. And this is why all these migrations happened, is people were looking for safety and they were looking for opportunity. And they were looking for relationships. And all of these things that happened, I'll tell you, if you understand church history, entire churches would come together. This happened in the South, and it happened on the East Coast. Entire churches would come together, and everybody would move somewhere together. It's crazy. When we get into the end times, people are going to move to be close to a healthy local church. You're going to see it. People are going to say, I want to be in a local church where the Bible is being taught, I can raise my kids in a church that has the moving of the Holy Spirit, that we wait on the Lord, a place where people have our back for the days and tough times we live in. And what's going to happen is retirement and salary is going to be secondary to being around a healthy local church. We're going to see that. See, a lot of times people move and then try to find a local church. We're going to see that flipped in the last days. All right, here's the third thing I'll tell you about this. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the flight. Jesus tells all this. He tells us all of these rough things. And then he goes, watch this. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached. I want y'all to say will be with me. One, two, three. Will be. It'll be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Let me tell you this. He's saying all these rough things are going to happen. Wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, all this stuff. Blah, 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 blah. But I want you to know this, guys. Nothing is going to stop the gospel of Jesus Christ. And nothing... Listen to me. He goes, nothing that Satan throws in front of us is going to stop the will of God. And this is why I say relax. You want to know why you relax? Because this game is rigged. We're playing in a rigged game. You know, like 1980s boxing, you know, it's all rigged in the Olympics, okay? We're playing in a game where the end has already been decided, and Jesus is not trying to be victorious. He's coming back showing you, I've always been victorious. Amen? Every now and then I'll go to a peewee football game. You see these little fourth graders trying to run around in pads. Every time you go to a peewee football game, there's one kid out there that looks like he's in high school. You know? All those kids couldn't get in their pads. This one kid got in his pads, then he shaved. You know, and you're just like, look at, he's a grown man. And you see the parents go, I want to see his birth certificate. How can he be that big? Dear God, he's a monster, you know? And like, every time you go to a peewee football game, the coach will just put that kid on the line, and he'll be there, and they're just like, block somebody. But every once in a while, you'll see the coach, it goes, he ain't putting him in the line. I'm going to make him running back. That's what happened last one I was at. 34 in purple. This big old monster of a kid. They put him at running back. They hand him the ball. You could feel the fear hit the field. Grandparents started praying, dear Jesus, save my son. Grandson, you know. Ambulances are lining up, you know, getting ready, and it's just nothing but carnage. He's like, blowing through the line of scrimmage, pushing kids down. Kids are just taking a big business decision, running off the field. He drags kids into the end zone, boom, spikes the ball, flexes on them like they do in the NFL, and I'm like, yeah. The gospel is not the defensive back scared he's going to get hit in the face. The gospel is number 34 in purple. The gospel will be preached all over the world, and then the end will come. This is what Jesus is saying. No matter what the world, how it goes wrong, people are going to get saved. People are going to be set free. Families are going to be restored because my will be done on this earth. Then the end will come. Amen. Stand on your feet. Hallelujah. So here's my question to you. Are you watching? Are you undeceivable? I've just made a decision. I ain't going to be a casualty in this. I'm not going to be one of those many will fall away. I just don't want to be that guy. You guys with me? He says, many will turn away. Those two words in the Greek means, you ought to write this down, scandalizo. That's the Greek words, where we get the word scandal from. He's going to, and this is what he said, as we get towards the end of the day, you're going to see scandal after scandal after scandal after scandal. You're going to see all kinds of stuff. Some of it might be true, some of it might be true. All of this. It just, you know what it makes me do? It makes me go, I'm going to live in integrity until the Lord comes back. And then it makes me say this, my walk with Jesus has nothing to do with Turner. Like, I love Turner, but if he blows it, you know, and he's an idiot, I'm not going to go, Turner failed, I'm done, you know. I'm going to say, Turner failed, I slapped him, he's coming back. All right, it's just like, right? Because how somebody else does in their walk with God doesn't determine what Jesus Christ did for me on Calvary. I'm in this to the end. Amen? False messiahs, false doctrines, scandalizo, all this stuff's going to happen. He who stands firm to the end will be saved. Amen? Open your hands and let me pray over you.